Good morning, again. Sorry, all of you that did not know Terry was going to be out of town, and you came to our worship service, you got me. But I do have to say, I guess before I start, my daughter just handed me this, and it says prayer list. And number one says we need to be praying for T-Bone. And I don't know, she said one of her teachers, Ms. Stout at Mobile Christian, had this written on her board, that we need to be praying for T-Bone because he lost his leg. And the only guy that I know is named T-Bone is the one that we've mentioned here before, Travis Turner, who's big in the hunting industry, big religious guy as well, has been battling cancer, and I know that was a possibility. So I don't know, but I do know that Jesus told us to be more like the little children. So I'm going to ask you to be praying for T-Bone. But also she wrote number two, Ukraine. And we'll speak a little bit more about that as we go along today in our sermon. But if you don't mind, for my daughter's sake and T-Bone and all the brethren there in Ukraine's sake, please be praying for them. Moving forward to a fearless future. Now last week, Terry talked about holding on to God's unchanging hand. And I promise I had this in mind before, and I don't think this is a reiteration of what Terry just taught last week, but hopefully an extension of what Terry taught. But I would like to read an intro into his sermon last week. I wanted to play it, but then I thought y'all would just get confused and that would be weird, so I'm going to read it. Here's how Terry started. Jesus told us we would have struggles, that we would endure temptation, strife, and tough times, but we still have to move forward. And then open, this is a direct quote. Why do we hold God's hand? Well, why did you hold your parents' hands? Y'all remember him talking about this, right? When you were little. Because you feel a sense of security. You know that as long as you're holding your parents' hand, you understand that there's going to be a trust factor there. That they are going to help you. They are going to defend you. And they are going to look out for you. And that is 100% true unless you are my children. And Riley grabbed my hand the other day walking into Academy. And I've always told my parents I didn't care that we didn't have a ton of money. Now, we were super, super blessed. But I didn't care that I wasn't rich until I went into like Bass Pro Shops, Field & Stream, Academy. That's the place I wish I could just go spend as much money as I could and there'd be no consequences, right? You feel me? Yes. So we're walking into Academy, and then, of course, I'm just overwhelmed because I'm like, I love this, and I like that, and Riley's holding my left hand, and I'm a great father, right? So I'm walking around, and she's holding me. She gets distracted about something behind her, and as she's turned, looking, I think she was probably turned this way, looking at what's behind her, and I'm walking, I pass one of these posts that are in Academy, these metal posts, right? And usually I'm really good. Like, kids will, you know how kids are, adults are like this too, walk around the house on their iPad and they bump into something or you catch them before and you're like, what are you doing? Pay attention. Right? Well, I'm paying attention to something. She's looking behind her and next thing I know, you know what a gong sounds like when somebody hits it? That's exactly what happened. And I was instantly frustrated, like, Riley, watch where you're going. But then realized she is like panicking, crying because it hurt. It just happened to be one of the posts and one of the few that had a fire emergency pull thing, handle on it, and it just caught her right under the eye, and she was crying uncontrollably, and then I got the hold of her, I'm like, I'm so sorry, I felt awful, so yes, what Terry said, we hold on to God's hands, we hold on to our parents' hands because we feel safe, but unfortunately my children just cannot relate to that. I do feel bad. But at some point in our lives, we will experience loss, we will experience disappointment, we will experience failure. We get off track. We lose focus. The list can continue on. How we cope with our challenges, with our difficulties, with our trials, with the emotions associated with them often determines if you and I stay stuck or if we move past those and forward into a bright future or the bright future that God has planned for each and every one of us. Yesterday, we went to across the bay to Urban Air. It's basically a little different, all right? There's more things than Get Air or Altitude, which is in Mobile, for anybody that's been to the trampoline parks here. So Urban Air also has a ropes course. And of course, My daughter, Riley, is 100% fearless. Will do anything and not bat an eye at it, okay? So she gets on the rope course. Well, and we had a friend, one of her friends, Sailor Grace, with us again. Doesn't bat an eye. Super fearless. Both of them get up on this ropes course, and Sailor Grace is going, and the guy hooks Grayson up, and Grayson is 100% fearful, okay? And he gets going, and you can tell his legs, like mine right now, are shaking as he's making steps across the high ropes, okay? Not completely buckled in. And Riley does her absolute best to make sure Grayson makes it around and gets his rope in the right track and all. And I told Grayson, I said, dude, I will give you $5 if you just go up there and don't cry and just go through it. Because it's not that bad. If you fall, something's going to catch you, right? Well, we did that. They did that, did a great job. But before that, they had gone to the rock climbing walls, okay? And Riley and Sailor Grace are going at it. They're ringing every bell. You know, you get to the top, you ring the bell like you're the champion, then you can jump off and just float down off the rope. Well, Grayson goes, and he's all about it because they're all about it. And he's trying to keep up with them, and he goes up one. He's like, dude, I can't do this one. I was like, all right, well, let's do this one. So he goes and gets about halfway up, and he's like, you know, and I'm trying, I'm like, dude, just go. You're fine. You know, so he got halfway up, and I'm like, okay, fine. Just jump down to me. I'll catch you. Right? And so he jumps, and I just move out of the way because it's got a spring on it, and it's going to retract you very slowly. And I look at him as he kind of eases to the ground and said, there's nothing to be afraid of. When you fall, you're going to get caught. So he climbs all the way up, and he gets to where he can just reach out and ring the bell, and he will not do it. I'm like, take one more step and ring the bell. Well, he won't do it. And I told him, I said, well, just fall back. So he fell again. And he's like, my finger's hurt, you know. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I'm like, bro, go up there, do it again, and ring the bell. And when he rang the bell, finally, it's the greatest feeling for him, right? He rings it, and he's just like, you can tell, he's fist bumping. He jumps off, and he's just like, I did it. And that's us. You and I are so afraid sometimes. We're so afraid to fail. We're so afraid to be called a loser. We're so afraid to fall flat on our face. But ultimately, guys, if we hold on to God's unchanging hand, if we plan to move forward with a fearless future, God's going to catch us. It does not matter. We have nothing to fear, right? Absolutely nothing to fear. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right? 32nd President of the United States of America on March the 4th of 1933, when giving his inaugural speech as he is being sworn into the White House, talks about his New Deal. I'm not a history major, I'm going to say, he talks about the New Deal, right? The plan to fight the Depression. Talks about depression, talks about unemployment, talks about all the challenges that Americans were going to face, and how they were going to get through these challenges. I'd like to read some from his speech. It says, so first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You know the quote very well, right? Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror. Catch that. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and of vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory, and I am convinced that you will again give that support to leadership in these critical days. So I have to ask you, not to a president, but to a God, do we wholly trust and support God's plan for our future? Are you willing to let go and allow God to catch you if you start to fail? Or are you willing to learn from your failures to be a better version of yourself? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body, but they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You have nothing to fear. George mentioned Ukraine. I mentioned Ukraine. Think about it. You said 80% of the Christians in Ukraine found somewhere to worship this morning. 80%. And they've got airstrikes and missiles and all things blowing up around them. They found a way to worship. And you and I will allow a week's worth of going out and having fun and playing sports and all of this to hold us back from worshiping? amazing, isn't it? That they are in real threat and fear of their lives. But they found a way to worship God because it was that important. Is it that important to us? There is no unsolvable problem when we face it wisely and courageously. The Bible in the book of Joshua mentions four things that we can learn. Now, obviously, I know you're going to think, well, he's just copying Terry's sermon. Terry's in the book of Joshua a little bit last week, but we are going to look at Joshua chapter 1 if you'd like to turn there with me this morning. Four things, four important lessons to help us overcome setbacks, to help us overcome fear, and help us restore a positive outlook for our future. So in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has been named the new leader of Israel after Moses' death. And they are preparing to move ahead across the Jordan River, right from the east to the west. Talked a little bit about it last week, into this promised land that God is giving to them. Moses has died. They have spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Moses has been dead for 30 days now. They've been mourning his death. And I think it's safe to say Joshua and the Israelites had had losses, had had failures and disappointments and setbacks along their journey. They certainly had fears of an uncertain future, but yet they pressed through it. First point this morning, first lesson this morning, you see it in front of you in front of you behind me, is purpose to get back up. Live with purpose and not regret. We've got to have a purpose to get back up. If you will, read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 with me this morning. After the death of Moses, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4, this has been 30 days that they had mourned the death of Moses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, get back up, purpose to get up. Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 1, God tells Joshua to arise, to get up, to get back on your feet. There is a time and a place for grieving. There is a time and a place for licking our wounds. But we cannot stay in that position forever. Socially, you understand, sometimes you just need a break from people. Anybody get that? You just need a break from people? It's completely okay. Sometimes physically we need a break, right? You ever worked really hard and then maybe like Saturday or even Sunday afternoon you're like, hey, I just need to rest for a little while. I just need to chill. The week was daunting. Is vacation wrong? We got a lot of people vacationing this week. And we'll be on a plane first thing in the morning out of Mobile going to vacation. We'll probably work our tails off vacationing, which we always do. So there's no rest, which is not a problem. But there's nothing wrong with vacation. There's nothing wrong with separating yourself socially and physically from time to time. There's nothing wrong with rest. But we shall never rest spiritually, right? We should never take a break from our spiritual lives. Jesus never did. Certainly He separated socially. He got away from the great crowds. He got away from people. He went to desolate places to pray. But He never was off spiritually. You don't take off days in our spiritual lives, right? We shall never take an off day in our spiritual lives. We have to live with purpose, not regrets. Mardi Gras is something big in Mobile. I think it started in Mobile. I don't know. You'd probably argue that. Just kidding. I know it did. We have this mentality of people who say, hey man, let the good times roll. It doesn't matter. This is a couple weeks of Mardi Gras. Just do whatever. We can't take a break spiritually. We shouldn't be involved. Look, parade, that's fine to go, right? If you want to go, you want to catch moon pies and stuff like that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But certainly, there is a lot of bad out there. There's a lot of sin out there. In businesses, man, we can't have this mentality, well, it's just different than being at church. I have to handle people differently. Businesses, we should never act any different than we do in a place of worship. When we're at school, we should never act, we don't have this free pass to act differently at school or anywhere else than we would here. God, in His plan for the Israelites and Joshua, He was not finished. God is not finished with you either. There is still work that He wants to do through you and in you. Remember a couple weeks ago, I know y'all are ready for March and Terry just to be back here consistently. But a few weeks ago, I was able to preach to you, and we talked from Ephesians chapter 1. And it said, hey, God chose you, and God predestined you for adoption. He had redeemed you and forgiven you, and He wanted to unite you in the end, but He did all of that for why? So you could go and live a holy and blameless life. So you could be on fire for Him. So that you could go and make a great impact on the world around you. You could essentially change the world. Like we are called to do. God wants to work through us and in us. He has promises He intends to keep in your life. So essentially what He was telling Joshua, and He's telling us today, get up. Arise, live with purpose. He is a way maker, a miracle worker, and He is a promise keeper. He has not failed His man yet. Which mindset do you have? You probably may not be able to read that slide. I don't know. Maybe some of you can. So Carol Dweck, the professor of psychology at Stanford University, who wrote a book based off of the growth mindset. So ask a question. What mindset do you have? Is it a fixed mindset or is it a growth mindset? Here's the difference. A fixed mindset. Success is based on innate ability, just intelligence and talent, etc. People who have a fixed mindset see them as fixed traits so that you spend your time proving your intelligence and talent and or talent instead of developing them. And you're inclined with a fixed mindset to believe success cannot be achieved where you're not smart enough. If you believe that you are not born with the right genes or traits, you could decide to adopt a defeatist attitude because it is as if there is nothing you can do to change your fate. Anybody had that attitude before? Oh, raise my hand. I certainly have. Well, it's just not in my genes to be that way. Right? I just didn't get that gift. Man, that's wrong. Here's the result. You limit your learning and you become unwilling to invest in your own personal growth. Here's the growth mindset, contrarily. Success is based on hard work, learning, training, and persistence. Brains and talents are just the starting point. You have an incremental view. You see the process. You know it's going to take steps. That is behind your love for learning and your attitude of resilience. Focus less on the outcome and more on what can be achieved through the process. You understand that no one has ever achieved success without years of constant practice. You understand that failure is a part of the process. You're not afraid to fail, but you understand that failure is just a part of learning. What her research has essentially proven is that your altitude, where you get in life, all depends on your attitude. Your altitude depends on your attitude. Are you willing to strive for growth? Arise. Purpose. To a new life. Get up off your feet. Lesson 2, put on strength and courage. Listen to verses 5 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God tells Joshua He will be with him the same way that He was with Moses. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm going to be with you. He would not abandon him. He would not give up on him. 3 times in 4 verses He says, be strong and courageous. God says, I promise to give you exactly what I promised from the beginning of time if you obey. I promise, you obey. God's promise, you better be obedient. Obedience to God leads to good success. Isn't that exactly what those verses told us? That if you will be faithful to me, if you will meditate on my word day and night, you will be prosperous. You can draw strength from knowing that God is with you. You can draw strength knowing that God responds when we are obedient to His Word. It's not like in 2022 we get a lesser version of God than Joshua or Moses. Yeah, we don't have burning bushes that He speaks through. Yeah, He doesn't follow us by clouds anymore. We don't get a lesser version of God, do we? You get the same God that was with Moses. You get the same God that was with Joshua. You get the same God that was with the disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 14 if you don't mind. We'll look at Matthew 14. We're going to look at an example of Mark 4 here in a minute as well. Starting in verse 22 of Matthew 14, it says, "Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray." Again, socially separating. That's completely fine. "When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified, they were afraid, and said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered Him, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come out to You on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those that were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, 'Truly, You are the Son of God.'" And Terry uses this analogy all the time, or this example there where Peter's walking on the water, and I bet Peter and his mentality jumped straight up out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come." Right? Just that's the man that Peter was. And he starts walking to Jesus, and then he sees the wind, and he gets scared. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He focuses because he thinks he can handle the wind and the waves much better than Jesus. So he starts to sink. And Jesus says there is no reason, Terry always says that there is no reason for Peter to fear because Jesus was standing on top of all of his fears in that moment. Right? And he says that so eloquently, it's perfect. I mean, think about this. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He lost focus. He feared for his life, and he was paralyzed by that fear that he could not focus and walk towards Jesus anymore. And as he starts to sink, guess what? Jesus was there the whole time, wasn't he? He was present in all of Peter's fears. And the moment that Peter cried out for help, what did Jesus do? Immediately, he reached his hand out to save him. Immediately. So Jesus is present in the midst of all of our fears. And he helps when? Only when we ask. Right? Only when we decide to get out of our own way and say, "God, I can't do it. I need Your help." How about turn to Mark chapter 4? Starting in verse 35. "On that day when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us go across the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat." So Jesus is now with them in the boat, just as He was. And the other boats were with Him. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." Just such a Jesus thing to do right there. "And they woke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?' And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Why do you fear? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another," this purposeful fear, right? Fear God. Fear the one that can take your life and your soul, but don't fear what can take your life away from you. "They were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey Him?'" Here we go. Fear equals a lack of or no faith. Right? So what is fear? A lack of faith. What is fear? It's no faith. Jesus told His disciples that on two occasions. Guess what? Just like Matthew chapter 14, where was Jesus? Present. In the midst of their fears. Present. Jesus was there. When did Jesus help? Immediately when they asked. So what do we have to fear? Put on strength and courage. The one that can take both our life and our soul is there present with us all the time. and says, all you have to do is reach out and ask for help, and I will provide, by example, immediate assistance. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's facing the challenges despite the fear. So courage is not the absence of fear, but it's facing the challenges despite the fear. See, you can Google this and get all kinds of people who write all kinds of things about courage and fear. It's action in spite of it. So fear exists. What do you do with it? Do you allow fear to paralyze you, to be stuck, to try to handle it all on your own? Or do we courageously accept God's plea to call out for my help? I will help you, and I will allow you to act in spite of your fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Seth came and read verse 7 to us just a moment ago. He says, this is Paul writing to Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Catch what Paul tells Timothy, a mentor, writing to someone who is looking up to Paul, who's going to be an extension of Paul, so to speak. He says, I thank God for you. He says, I remember you constantly in my prayers. So let's catch this. Let's spin this to be speaking to people who, for whatever reason, are not in our worship services anymore. Because we know our numbers are not what they used to be. And I know COVID has a big part of that, but people just have gotten relaxed since COVID, right? We keep people constantly in our prayers, night and day. Paul says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you. Don't you long to see the people that just don't come anymore? That I may be filled with joy. So I long to see people that I have not seen in maybe 2 years. And I wish they were here so I would be filled with joy. I am reminded, we can be reminded of the sincere faith that they once had, which was found in Timothy's example here with his grandmother and his mother. But I could look out to people and call people and know people that are not here who have a sincere faith because of their grandparents, because of their parents, because of other mentors in their lives. Verse 6, he says, for this reason I remind you, let's remind those people to fan into flame the gift of God. Let's not let them be ashamed or be ridiculed or judged because they haven't been here. Let's remind them that they have a gift. Let's remind them to not be stuck in their fears. Let's remind them to come back. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of love, or power and love, and of self-control. Courage is not the fear of the absence of fear, but action in spite of it. So God is with us. We should put on strength and courage. Lesson 3 is to prepare your provision. Verse 10 of Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, says, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. This is Joshua speaking. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go and to take possession of that land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I wish I lived by this principle. I used to pee there. Good. I wish I lived by this. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. I really wish I lived by that. I wish I was more prepared in every aspect of my life. Don't you? Don't you agree with this, that proper preparation prevents poor performance? Joshua says, prepare your provisions. Prepare yourself to move forward. Gather your resources. Use whatever is in your ability or in your power to use. It's foolish for us to prepare for a hurricane, right, when the outer bands are pelting us with rain. Wouldn't you agree? It's foolish at that point to start preparing for a hurricane. It would be foolish for the Final Four teams in the basketball region, right, or basketball sport, in the Alabama High School Athletic Association that the next couple of days are going to be playing the Final Four and then the championship game. It would be foolish for them to spend their entire weekend at Dave & Buster's or Chuck E. Cheese. It would be foolish for them to go out and play Top Golf all day and all night. It would be foolish for them to sit and watch Netflix in the room the whole weekend instead of preparing for their next opponent. Wouldn't you agree? Would it be foolish for a baseball team to look forward to baseball season all year but do nothing in the off season and just expect February the 4th or whatever the day you guys started to go up to the plate and be good? It would be foolish for us not to prepare, right? Joshua, thankful for his wisdom, said, go prepare your provisions. Get the resources that you need to draw from because we're about to go on a journey. With anticipation, get ready for what God is about to do, whether that is a blessing or a trial. Either way, prepare. So how can we spiritually prepare? Real quick, Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to read it, but you know the whole armor of God, going from the top to the feet. Put on the helmet of salvation. Protect your head. Protect your salvation. Focus on heaven. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect the heart, that which is good within you. We put on the belt of truth, the waist, right? Where we put our belt, right, around our waist, the truth, our core. Anybody ever done ab exercises? Like, we all have a six-pack, right? It's just way down there somewhere, right? So I try to do crunches every once in a while, and I realize those abs are there. They're just not really present, okay? But this belt of truth, we got to protect our waist. It's our very core. It's essential. Like if we did our ab exercises, our backs wouldn't hurt as much. Okay? It's essential to us. We put on shoes that protect our feet. We stand on the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. We have this shield of faith for protection. Faith is greater than our fear. Sword of the Spirit, which is a weapon. The Word of God. And then also prayer. Spending time praying to the one that can both save your life and your soul. Practicing these disciplines provides us with this reservoir, this ever-flowing reservoir of spiritual and emotional strength that we can draw from when new challenges, when new crises, when new temptations, when new disappointments come our way. Finally this morning, number 4, slowest clicker ever. There we go. Preserve the foundation. Live in the promise. Preserve the promise which has been given to you. Verses 12 through 15 of Joshua chapter 1 says, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, so this is the ones that asked Moses long before that, hey, we want to stay east of the Jordan as you guys cross west of the Jordan to go inherit the promised land. We want to stay on the east side. Joshua tells them, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying that the Lord God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor, all those that can fight among you, shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise, toward the east. He said, listen, you can leave your wives, your children, your livestock. Don't just leave all the land that God's willingly given you. Go ahead and live in the promise. Protect the promise. But then you men of valor, you come help fight for your brothers. And then when we have obtained everything else west of the Jordan, you can come back home. He says, hold on to the good things, the good foundations that have been built. During times of disappointment, failure, fears, it is easy to forget all the blessings that you and I have been given. We've been sometimes blinded by our circumstances. When Paul, in fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, says to be content in all of our circumstances. Can't see the loving spouse that you have. Sometimes we're so blinded by our circumstances, we can't see that we have loving children. We have a family that loves us. We have a church family that loves us. Hold on to the precious relationships you've been blessed with. Hold on to the good memories of lost loved ones. Protect the lessons learned during trials and move forward into all that God has for you. There will be challenges ahead. There will be rivers to cross. There will be battles to fight. But don't be stuck in your fear. Fear should not be a part of our equation. Fear won't add a single day to our lives, but it might diminish the days that we have left. We watched a movie this weekend, and I'll close with this. We Bought a Zoo. Anybody ever seen that? We find out towards the end that Matt Damon, who is the guy that is the zoo owner, they have bought this house. His wife has passed away. We never really meet his wife. technically, while she's living. But he said his brother told him this when he was younger. And he's carried it all the way through his life. And he was in this moment where he's having this huge fight with his son. But his son liked this girl that was on the show there at the zoo. And he had said something to her, didn't listen to her. So they were kind of not hanging out anymore. And he's like, Dad, what should I do? What should I say? And he says, look, we'll find out again later. He lived his life by this. He said, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something good will come of it. Don't you think, like, I don't know how long it would take for you to walk the aisle. Maybe 5-10 seconds. I don't know. I think in my life, man, it took about 20 seconds and a couple years for me to muster up the courage to ask Ashley out. And look how that happened. 20 seconds of courage changed my life. 20 seconds of courage for me to walk the aisle, even though I was scared to do it. To be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins has changed my life. Maybe it's for you, just 20 seconds of courage. Insane courage. Deliberate courage. I promise you, it will change your life. Maybe it's you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Take less than 20 seconds to do that. It's all it takes. Maybe it's to leave the job that you want to for the job of your dreams. Maybe it's to move somewhere. It's going to be better for you and your family. I hope not from Mosaic City, of course. Whatever it is in your life, do not let fear be a part of the equation, because we have a God that will catch us. We have a God that will not let us fail eternally. If you have any need this morning, I hope it takes less than 20 seconds, but we do encourage you to stand and sing together.